A Shishkin Productions podcast.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel podcast. Woo-hoo. 155 deep.
Oh my God.
Going strong. Running on fumes.
Yeah, that's true. We're kind of setting up the rundown today, and we're like, shit, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, I think it's because we recorded late on, we recorded on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's been 4 days, nothing's fucking happened.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
You know, we've actually had work, though. It's kind of nice, for once.
I know, right?
It's kind of unforeseen circumstances. Normally, we're just doing nothing.
I had a new project, and I was excited to have something to do.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's how I felt today. Like, because it was working on a project for a little producer brisky friend of ours.
Oh,
and I'll get into it more in detail later. But I came in and I was like, all right, I guess I'll just work on it. And as soon as I started working on it, I was like, oh. It's actually, haven't done this in a while.
No.
It's pretty interesting. It's good stuff.
It's nice to use my brain to make money.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Chris, before we get started, why don't you give the people the little social plug?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Do it.
We're Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com. It's new. It's improved. It's a cool ass website. Or a good ass website. Who knows?
It's all of the above.
And most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line.
Brr. That's right. Brr. Oh my God, that thing is freezing.
That is 3-3-2-3-3-3-4-3-61.
Sorry, I was like, I was distracted because I had opened up all these tabs over here and I was like, why do I have so many tabs? So I started, I started closing them. And then as I got through closing most of them, I realized, like, wait, I have these open because this is for a different show and I need these open.
Mm.
They're all videos.
Oh.
And then I had to reopen them again.
Command shift T.
Right. But then they all started autoplay. I was like, wait, I gotta mute this shit. So I was juggling.
We're very prepared today.
Speaking of the cold line.
Yes.
We finally got a message. Wow. I'll play it for you.
That's exciting.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy Joe Nana, long time listener, first time caller. Just calling in to answer some of your questions. I don't give a fuck about Wes Anderson. And I don't give a fuck about TikTok. Next question. I don't give a fuck about the celebrity auction. And my favorite plugin is Mr. Horse. All right. See ya.
So
I like
it. Fuck about anything.
No, I respect it. We asked for opinions and he gave them to us.
I know. I'm glad he called in. I feel like normally, you know, people don't.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, Joe. I don't give a fuck about any of those things either. We just need shit to talk about.
That's pretty much how it goes. You guys know my opinion on it. I like Wes Anderson's take on the TikTok thing.
Yeah.
I think he's cool. Celebrity auction, I think it's cool. I don't have a favorite plug. So I'm like the polar opposite of him. Speaking of plugins,
so last week I mentioned Knights of the Editing Table released a new free plugin for Premiere Pro, and I think it's also for After Effects and Photoshop. It is called Portal.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it does is, you know, it's just another window as part of your Premiere setup.
Right.
And you can drag and drop folders from Finder onto it, and it becomes a shortcut, basically. So
it's a portal into Finder.
Yeah. So the way it works is once you drag and drop the folders that you want easy access to, anytime you need to get to them, you just click on that folder in Portal, and it automatically opens that folder in Finder. So it's not revolutionary. There's probably a reason that it's free.
Yeah.
But it is useful. It takes out an extra step because like you and I always have 3 to 5 Finder windows open at any given time.
Right.
And they usually link to different projects, different folders, you know, downloads, trash, whatever.
Sure.
And this just kind of, you know, it saves a few seconds.
It keeps you in Premiere.
Exactly.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it saves a few seconds and you don't get bogged down. But in those few seconds over the course of, you know, an entire edit, that adds up.
Yeah.
It's just convenient.
I'm trying to think of how I would use it. I feel like I would probably maybe use it to link to folders that have like graphics maybe in them. I don't know. It doesn't seem, for me personally, I'm not gonna get it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't work on enough stuff where like I need to go into Finder all the time. I don't need to go into Finder. Yeah. Like everything's already in my project.
The only time I can find it useful for me, and it's probably not going to be a big part of my workflow, to be honest, but it is for graphics, because typically when I start a project, I import everything. Like I usually have all the footage to begin with.
Right.
Now that's not always the case. Like if I'm doing a rip film, it comes in batches, and that's, I guess that would be useful to have, but really it's graphics. Like
would it be useful to have? Not really, right? With the rip thing. Cause you're just going and downloading more shit and then throwing it in the project.
It's true.
Like it's kind of a one way street. It's very rare that I ever need to go back out into Finder. Yeah, it's just rare. Maybe I could see it. You know where I could see it? I could see it linking to common assets. So that would be a quick way to like get to like sound effects that we have on the server, or get to any like common big, you know, things that are used across multiple projects.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only way I could see it. So maybe I will get it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get it. Chris, what have you been up to, bro?
You know, this week has been, like I mentioned, we had a new project come in from our friend Matt King.
Our esteemed benefactor.
Yes, exactly. The person keeping us in business, honestly.
Yep.
And this was not the typical videos we do for him. This is a new client, so I wanted to take it seriously. And,
you have to.
Yeah, and it was kind of... like a more, without getting too deep into it, it's kind of about medical technologies and about you know, finding a cure for cancer.
So it's some real shit. It's actually like
it wasn't just like, hey, this is the technology and how it works. It was also, there were stories about, you know, why these people decided to study cancer and, you know, why they're trying to cure it. So there was a lot of emotion to it too. And, you know, we wanted to find a balance between that emotion and also promoting the product and having it all make sense together.
It's heavier. It's not just like marketing fluff.
Exactly. Exactly. Whatever.
I was doing some marketing fluff.
Ooh.
But that's what I was doing for one of my things this week. I don't have to get in. I won't get into exactly what it was, but it was cool, man. It was you know what, that point in the movies that happens like whenever they say the title and it's like, oh, that's the title.
Yep.
Like,
he said it.
This,
I made, like, Leonardo DiCaprio on the couch.
I made a sizzle reel. That's what I did.
Oh, you made a sizzle reel.
I made a sizzle reel today.
Wow, that's what we're best at, honestly. Right.
Let me, this shit is crazy though, because sizzle reels, like, to get them to a point where like, I would say the thing I did today is like 90%. 90 to 95% of the way there.
Yeah.
I think that it needs that extra 10% to really, really spice it up. But the fact that I was able to get it 90% of the way there in 3 hours is insane. Like, I literally only spent 3 hours on that thing.
That's nice. That's nice.
Got paid for a day. Let's fucking go. Hey. That's the way to do it. But you know what they say?
It's a good thing Vince doesn't listen.
Yeah. So you don't get paid for the work you do. You get paid for kind of like all the work you did leading up to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So to speak. I don't know how to put it eloquently.
Yeah, you're getting paid for the fact that you can do it in 3 hours.
Yeah,
like, because exactly. Other editors could take a full day, maybe 2 days to do the same thing.
Yeah. And I think it's better to get it done quicker.
Yeah.
It's nice. Gets done. Everyone's happy.
I agree.
Vince was happy with it.
Yeah, especially on a Friday.
You got to do it. What is this enhances in Premiere now you put?
So, you know how... I'm sure we've talked about it on the show, but Adobe Podcast Enhance.
Yes.
It is now a beta feature within Premiere Pro.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So I used it for the first time yesterday on the Matt King project, and it works pretty well. It's weird because right now, so it's a part of the Essential Sound panel, which I've actually been using, you know, quite a bit more than I expected to use it, because it's really useful for like if you have a track that you want to remix to be a few seconds longer or shorter or whatever. Mm-hmm. I use that feature a lot. But now you can use the enhance feature. The only thing is, like, if you go to their website and use it, you can, there's like a slider where you can go from 0 to 100% of like how much like the intensity of it you want to use. Yeah, that's new. They introduced that a couple weeks ago. And in Premiere right now, it's basically just you can turn it on or off. But then it also comes with like, you know, denoise and dehum and all that in the essential sound panel.
Right.
And I actually think that's a much better way of doing it than dragging and dropping from the effects panel. So I think this is going to become a part of my workflow moving forward. It was really easy to use. And yeah, I mean, it was simple.
I can't believe it. That's actually fucking nice.
Honestly, all of the new stuff that they've been introducing, the kind of AI-based stuff, has been really great. Because in the same project, I used the transcribe feature. Mm-hmm. And it used to be you kind of transcribe the sequence that it's in, and it doesn't necessarily carry over the same. But now you transcribe the source clips, so no matter where you cut them, it carries over. So that was really useful for me because, you know, they talked about some kind of dense ideas and just searching through it and seeing, having that extra visual cue of where I am in my edit and what needs to be there is really useful.
It sped it up a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once I had my selects and I actually started editing, it only took maybe 2 or 3 hours to craft the story the way I wanted.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was because I had that text transcript that I could just kind of reference real quick. And, you know, I don't have to listen to the entire byte to remember what it is. I can just look at what this byte is and move it around like that.
So this is the beginning of that efficiency. You know, everyone's talking about like, will AI completely replace editors, or will AI be a tool for editors to get more efficient or whatever?
Well,
it seems like in your last project, you literally used like 3 different AI things to make your editing experience better.
Absolutely. And there was so I was in prep for the show. I was kind of looking at some stuff on the editor subreddit, and there was a post about Adobe Firefly generative fill being really useful. And one of the great comments in there was, editors won't lose jobs to AI. They'll lose jobs to editors who know how to use AI. That's what I hear in my circles, and it's not wrong. And, you know, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
To a point. I mean, these technologies, I guess they can replace certain workflows eventually, and it will cheapen a lot. But if you can understand how to use them to improve your workflow and become a better editor,
right,
then you will get those jobs.
Yeah, you learn the new tools, right? I mean, that's how it always goes.
That's how it's been.
I completely forgot about the like editor subreddit. I don't know how that happened. I just like literally stopped going to it. I'm not much of a Reddit guy.
Yeah.
And so like I used to go on that in order to like, you know, keep up with stuff for the show and whatever. And I just like literally you brought it up and I was like, fuck, man, I haven't been on that thing in legitimately like probably 6 months.
Well,
like, fuck, can't believe I forgot it.
There hasn't been a lot of great topics lately, if I'm being honest. And I think part of that is probably strike related, not entirely,
also,
but
just
a little
being
bit.
A slow year. I feel like it's been a slow year for everybody. Everyone I had talked to in the industry is like, yeah, it's been slow.
That's the trend. And that was true, I think, even before the strike.
Yeah, I am. It makes me think, though, we probably need to, you know, get into another kind of question, whatever we call it. What do we call that shit?
Crashing the boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm obviously not all here today for this fucking episode. I'm hungover. Crashing the boards. We should do another one. It's been a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll get someone on. I don't know. Get a little Brisky on himself.
Yeah.
See what he thinks.
The Brisk, maybe Coob, who knows?
Yeah, Brisk was telling me how he is really excited to tell stories about his Europe trip.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he was gone for like six months. He was like, I got like podcast stories. And I was like, all right, you can come on. Fine.
Okay.
Fine. You can come on the show.
Podcast stories?
Like stories to tell on the podcast.
Are they production related or is it just
so.
His?
I don't think so. I think he's just going to talk about his adventures, which is fine.
That's fine. We need the content.
What I did this week, I went to New York Latino Film Fest. We had a film that we helped produce that was screening there called Tumba del Mar, Tomb of the Sea.
Oh.
And very, very good movie. It's about kind of
Is that the one that we screened here one time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It's been re-edited. It's edited totally differently. A lot of parts are cut out.
Okay. I'd be interested
in seeing
it now. It's different
than what we
saw. Yeah.
The story is about, it's basically about immigrant life. Specifically, this one is about Cuban immigrant life and how the There's two main characters, really, and one of them is the mom who came from Cuba. One of them is the son who, you know, I think was probably born in America, but it's about their contrasting views on Cuba and America and the relationship. So it's really interesting. And there was a lot of, in that block, there was another really great movie also about an immigrant thing that I really liked that resonated with me. And then there was also ones where I was just like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
So, but it was great. It was a great experience. It's really fun to go to these film festival screenings. I kind of like it. I went to Fujifilm screening as well. Fujifilm, or Fuji, I guess, have a kind of event that they do every month.
Yep.
It's like a screening in Greenpoint at a bar called Moonlight Mile. And it's a really, really great time. It's a networking event, and you get to watch a short film that was made on Fuji gear or using Fuji gear, and Fuji sponsors it. And then after the short, they screen a BTS of how it was made, and then they do a little Q&A with the directors. I always have a great time with those. I loved it. If you are in New York and you want to go, hit us up.
They also do raffles, right?
They do raffles. I didn't stay for the raffle this time because I had to get to Union Square.
Of course.
But hit us up. SizzleRealGang@gmail.com. If you want to go to the next one, we will get you in. It's a fun place to go, and it's a good place to meet other filmmakers.
Absolutely.
The level is also like, it's attainable. You know, you don't go there and feel out of your depths. You don't go there and go, whoa, like, I can't make this. You go there and go, holy shit, they're empowering people to make stuff.
Yeah,
and giving them tools. And it's actually very inspiring to go there.
Cool.
So I had a great time. I enjoyed it.
I still haven't been, but I would like to go to one of these coming up soon. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Amy went to this last one.
Yeah, was that her first time?
That was her first time. She had some strong opinions on the film.
Oh, she didn't like it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say if she did or didn't. I'll let her speak to that at some point. But she definitely felt very strongly about it. But also, she thought we were running late to the other screening, so I think she was just stressed.
Gotcha.
I don't think she really disliked the film.
What was the film about?
It was a boxing movie.
Interesting.
It was a boxing movie about a female boxer, and kind of, you know how it always is with boxing movies. The metaphor, it's always I don't want to be a jerk, but it's kind of a ham-fisted metaphor always with boxing. It's
sure.
Like, oh, you're on the ropes, and so is this boxer's life, but they're going to fight back. And like, it's, you know what I mean? It's just it was juxtaposing like them being in the ring, then a flashback to their childhood, then like them like getting up on a count of eight, and then like, you know, a break, and then they come back and they win. It's juxtaposed with like other parts of their life. And it's like, I get it. It's cool. It's just played out. Like, boxing movies are a dime a dozen.
Yeah. I remember for my intro to film class, the final, I guess it was the final of the class, and it was kind of like, it was going to determine what my grade was going to be. Cause I wasn't always showing up to class, and
you can't always show up to
classic
class.
Me. But the project was like, we had to watch the first scene or 5 minutes of Raging Bull, which is a boxing movie with Robert De Niro. And we basically had to analyze that scene and kind of decide, or like, elaborate on what we think the themes of the movie will be, what we think the imagery is trying to get across. You know, it's shot in black and white, and I went into it on that. It got me an A. I never talked to that professor again, but I guess they liked it enough to pass me. And I never saw the rest of the movie, so I don't know if anything I said was correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I said, a boxing movie, it's, when you know it's about boxing, you most likely, 95% of the movies, you know what's going to happen.
I think the only boxing movies I've seen are the Rocky movies. I don't think I've seen any others.
I don't really find them to be super interesting. Like, I don't really care about watching a movie about a fighter, unless it's The Fighter.
The Fighter? Is that the Mickey Rourke one?
I think so. That was The Wrestler.
Oh, that was The Wrestler.
The Fighter was
the
Christian Bale one,
Okay. And then there was was it Million Dollar Baby? Was that about boxing? Yeah.
No, that was about a Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, okay.
That sold for $1 million on eBay. It was the first Million Dollar Baby. Seven-figure baby.
Babies are not worth that much.
Seven-figure baby would have been a way worse name. My wrap-up on that is that, for the record, even though I just like basically shat all over that film. I'm trying to say that they did a great job shooting it.
Yeah.
It looked good. It looked good. The story, whatever, like stories are stories. Who cares?
Films don't need to have stories.
Yeah. The director did a great job, like, cause it made sense and you could tell what was happening. And it's hard to make a fucking movie. I mean, they were filming this like in a box. There was like a boxing ring, but they also like had a bunch of extras. So it felt like it was full. It was like a real thing. I mean, there's a ton of work went into that fucking film.
Yeah.
So I applaud them for making it. And, you know, I'm glad I watched it.
Well,
that's how I'll put
I'm happy for you.
All right. What do you got? You made the show today because I was actually working for once.
Yeah. So I, you know, it was there's not a lot going on, but there is a strike update. So I think that WGA and the AMTP.
AMPTP.
AMPTP. They started to go back to the tables to negotiate yesterday, I believe. And that's yesterday. For us is Thursday the 21st, and it's supposed to continue today on Friday the 22nd. They were, I think, as of today, we're 144 days into the strike, which, you know, for 2008 lasted for 100 days. So this one, it just keeps going on. So they talked about some of the issues that they're, you know, still trying to come to terms on about generative artificial intelligence. I did think one thing was interesting. This line from Variety, it says, on Thursday evening, multiple sources said a bit of last minute static emerged over what the management side viewed as new deal points raised by the WGA, which kept the CEOs in the room longer than expected until about 7:30 p.m.
So what's that mean? That they introduced new things that initially weren't part of the...
That's how it sounds to me. What I'm guessing is that's just bullshit coming from the management side. They're just gaslighting people. I bet it's something that's been around the entire time. But
I'm curious to, because what I've heard, the little small things I've heard is that it's getting close. It's getting closer to like a deal getting done.
Sure.
What do you think? You think the deal will be done before October? Probably not, right?
Well, I don't know.
Before November?
I think that ABC announced that they'll be showing Monday Night Football on ABC all season, which they haven't done for a long time. It's just been on ESPN. And I think part of that is related to the strike, because that's easy numbers that they can get without having to, you know...
Right.
Yeah. I think that they're going to start getting close, because now we're in that fall lineup where new shows should be coming out and they're not. And this is also, I mean, thinking about next year's summer blockbusters, mm-hmm. those need to start filming.
Yeah.
Otherwise there's not going to be anything coming out next year. So I think that it is going to get close. I don't know if a deal is imminent, unlike Dame to Miami.
Hey.
But it, you know, it's a good sign that they did start renegotiating a couple days ago.
My prediction is, I think we should start taking bets on it. Like you and I, show.
Kind of like a death pool.
Yeah, you and I each show should pick a day that we think it's going to end. And then if it ends on that day, we win $10 from the other person.
Okay, but only if it's exactly on that day. It's not like Price is Right rules.
No way. It's got to be exactly on that day, and that day that we pick has to be within the next, before the next show, so we can see how we do.
Okay,
I'll pick the September 28th.
September 28th.
That's a Thursday. I think it's going to be done on this Thursday. That's my prediction.
Okay, I'll pick September 26th. That's Tuesday.
Oh, wow. You think it'll be done as of this release, it'll be done tomorrow.
Yeah,
wow.
Why not? If it has to be before the next show.
Before the next show. So, all right. So the 28th, the 26th.
And I think Monday's a Jewish holiday, so I don't think they're going to announce anything.
Is it Suck It? It's Suck It.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Or Suckus, one of them.
I don't know.
Call
what it
in
is.
332-333-4361. Let us know, what is the holiday called? And tell us a little bit about the meaning of it.
Yeah.
You know? Because B&H is closed. That's all I know.
That's how we find out.
I've been trying to return a camera, and I just realized like they're closed for the next like 3 days.
B&H is closed, and my landlords won't respond to my emails.
Yeah, there you go. Chris, what else do you have on here? Prime Video adding commercials.
Yeah, Prime Video is adding commercials. They say that they plan to run fewer ads on Prime Video than traditional broadcasters or broadband rivals. Mm-hmm. And this is another article from Variety that I'm quoting. And 4 minutes per hour seems to be a benchmark for the lowest amount of ad time on a streaming platform, which honestly, 4 minutes per hour, I can live with. Mm-hmm. Not that I ever want ads, but the thing about Prime is I don't pay for Prime for Prime Video. It's a nice bonus.
It's a bonus. Yeah, you mostly pay for the 2-day shipping type shit.
Yeah, basically, I don't even know how it works anymore. And I guess I get a free Twitch sub per month. That's nice. There's a bunch of nice shit that comes with it. But
How much does it cost?
It's like $120 a year.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, something like that. It pays for itself if you use Amazon a lot. And I'm one of those terrible people who does use Amazon a lot.
Unbelievable.
I know. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. So no, relax.
Yeah, you're right.
You can, for an additional $2.99 per month, get rid of those ads. But I'm not going to pay $3 extra per month for it. Like I don't watch Prime Video very often. It's only when I just want to put something mindless on in the background, or right. Maybe I think they had Air, the Michael Jordan movie. Mm-hmm. I think that was on Prime Video and I watched it there. But for the most part, it's just they have Psych, which is one of my favorite shows, and I just like that as reruns when I'm like cleaning or something like that. But I don't
watch shit, bro.
Yeah,
literally watch nothing. I've said it a million times on the show. I just don't watch anything. There was an article in Deadline that was talking about how now more people are watching TikTok than
I saw
like
that
ever.
Yeah, I read that,
and that it's approaching the amount of people or the amount of time that people watch Netflix. And I was just like, yeah, like no shit. it's just so much easier to watch TikTok than it is to like sit down and commit to like some show on Netflix. Well, I don't know.
TikTok is nice because it makes the decision for you. You know, like anytime you sit down to watch, like I sat down, I wanted to watch a movie or something, and it took me 20 minutes to find a movie. I watched the new Indiana Jones movie. It was pretty boring.
Oh, what? The new Indiana Jones movie sucks? You don't say. of course. They all fucking suck.
No, the first three are
the
great.
The reason they're good is because of nostalgia. They're not actually good.
No, those are great films.
I'll let you know when I see it.
Okay.
I'll let you know once I watch
it. The fourth one is trash. Fourth one's terrible. And the fifth one was just boring. Like, it could have been any... It's not fun watching Harrison Ford at 80, like, try to be an action hero.
You can't be in it.
When
you're 80, you should be in a movie like Nebraska. You know that movie Nebraska?
No, I haven't. But
see, I got a crazy fucking movie bag, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen like Indiana Jones, but I've seen Nebraska.
Yeah,
like,
what
the fuck? It's weird. My movie bag is deep, but it's not very wide.
Oh yeah.
I got that deep movie bag.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You got a wide ass movie bag.
Yeah,
and pretty deep too. Honestly, you've seen a lot of movies, I feel like.
Yeah, but there's a lot of the like cultural classics that I still haven't seen because I've
never heard them called cultural classics.
I don't know, but like just
cult classics.
No, not even cult classic. Because I feel like cult classic is something
that's Nebraska.
It's a little different. Yeah, it's like a movie,
ghost story,
a movie that most people don't like, but a small section of people absolutely love. I'm talking more like the IMDb top 100. I've seen a decent amount of them, but then like the more dramatic ones, I haven't necessarily seen because I don't like watching dramas or anything that makes me feel sad. Like I've never watched Schindler's List, and I probably won't because it's too heavy for me.
Well, they're rewriting it. They're making a new one.
Oh yeah,
for the BuzzFeed is producing it. Schindler's Listicle.
Oh my god.
It's just like top 10 like people he saved or something.
Oh my god.
Chris.
Yes.
Last thing you have on here is about GPT lawsuits. And then we have a little game that we're going to play.
Oh, we're going to play a game. Okay. Well, we'll speed through this cuz who cares? ChatGPT is being sued by more people. George R.R. Martin headlines another group of 17 top authors who are suing OpenAI, alleging that ChatGPT stole their works.
Interesting.
This is on the heels, I think, earlier this year in July, Sarah Silverman and a couple other authors sued for, they think that their copyrighted works were illegally used to generate
generate the AI, the ChatGPT churns out.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not too much to say on this.
Who are OpenAI owned by? Are they just their own company?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That must be crazy to be getting fucking sued by all these people.
Yep. So, I mean, there's not much to say. There's a few people who are suing them, and we won't know what happens until it happens. But
you know who a pirate's favorite author is?
George R. R. Martin.
That's it. Yeah,
I like it.
I know. They also just like Game of Thrones. Usually,
that makes sense.
Very pirate type thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, there's a guy named Sean Bean. You ever heard of him?
Oh yeah, he was Ned Stark.
Well, for our sister podcast, Calling All Casuals, we're starting a thing called the CAC Movie Club, where it's soccer movies. And he was in a soccer movie from 1996 that I don't know the name of offhand, which, I probably should, considering I'm trying to tell people to go watch it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's called When Saturday Comes. It's from 1996, and he plays a down-on-his-luck soccer player drunk guy. So... I'll let you know how it is. I'm going to watch it this week. So that's what I'm talking about. Deep movie bag. Why am I watching that? I haven't seen fucking, I don't know, Back to the Future. Well, I have seen Back to the Future, but I haven't seen, I have seen E.T. I just recently saw E.T. I'm trying to think of ones that, how would I know what I haven't seen?
I don't know, dude.
Name like an 80s movie.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Yeah, but that one we already did. Ghostbusters. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Ghostbusters?
I've only seen the remake with the all women cast.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, moving on to the final segment here. We're going to do a draft. We do these drafts a lot. We're doing the guild draft. So
The guild draft.
So, Chris, you see there's a list of guilds in this rundown. Oh, if you click it, it'll take you to a website that has all of these. Now, at the top, right underneath this picture, you'll see it says quick find and it has a plus button. Click that plus button.
Okay.
And that'll be our list of guilds we can draft from.
Oh, that's a lot.
We're going to do like a Mount Rushmore. We'll be four. We'll each get four. And, I'm going to let you go first because, and we're not going to do snake style. I'm just letting you go first. I'm giving you the first pick because I think you deserve it. You worked hard to put the show together.
This is tough.
And there's a lot to pick from here. I mean, we have everyone from producers to stuntmen to teamsters. We got everybody on this fucking thing. So, Chris, without any further ado, walk us through your thought process and tell us who your first pick is.
This is really difficult. Just to name a few of the possibilities, you have the Directors Guild, you have IOTSI, there's SAG-AFTRA, Teamsters, WGA, talent agents, motion picture sound editors, Producers Guild, there's tons. And I've said it before, but film is, it's all the different arts combined.
It's a criticism.
You need to have all of these people. So it's really difficult to just pick one, but I am going to start off with, in solidarity, the Writers Guild of America.
Wow. You're picking the WGA.
A good screenplay is the first step to a good movie.
Wow. That's a fucking really just truer words have never been spoken. It's a very deep thought and I do appreciate it.
Yep.
So you're taking WGA first, huh?
Yes.
Very interesting. I think it's a layup for me what to take first, but I'm going to pivot. I'm going to zig when a lot of people think I should SAG.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm zigging. Instead, I'm going to take Society of Camera Operators.
Okay.
SOC, the SOC, because I think it's a funny initial, SOC. So I'm starting with the SOC over here. The Society of Camera Operators, it says here they're an honorary society that focuses on both supporting its members and driving development of the technology and production methods that provide the foundation for their work. Ironically, the YouTube video that they link here for the Society of Camera Operators is shot really poorly and not white balanced. So don't know what that says about that, but you can contact them 818-563-9117 if you want to give them a call, let them know how you feel. So my first pick is SOC.
Okay. So I'm a little confused, but I I'm thinking IOTSI seems to be comprised of many other smaller guilds.
Right.
And some of them include like Animation Guild.
Yeah, you can't take IOTSI as a whole.
You have to take one of those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, I am just going to, I'm going to stay in solidarity and I'm going to take SAG-AFTRA.
Oh my God. You got WGA and SAG.
Yep.
That's, you have a pretty solid team right now. But neither of them are working. So I think
that's a good point.
I kind of have a better one. I'm going with it's an easy one. It's a layup for me here. I can't believe you left them. It's the muscle of the whole thing. These guys. This union was formed in 1903.
I think I know who it's going to be.
There is approximately 1.3 million members across multiple industries, with film and television being a segment. You know who I'm picking. It's the Teamsters. That's right. Teamsters includes, Local 399, I think, is the Los Angeles one.
Okay.
And they represent a range of professionals, including drivers, location managers, and casting directors. So a lot of people just think of them as drivers, but there's a lot of, you know, people represented in this. So I'm slowly building, I think, what seems to be a powerhouse here. I got SOC. I got Teamsters.
No, you're in good shape. See, here's the thing. I've always known that Teamsters is a union, but I've never known what they're a union of.
I just love the name.
They've just been the Teamsters.
I just love the name. Like, yeah. I think you're building a team that is really focused on, you know, generating things for the industry and creating entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm picking by name. Sock and Teamsters.
Okay.
Those are fucking fire ass names. So I'm looking good.
I am going to hard pivot.
Oh my God.
I'm going to hard pivot after all I said about solidarity with WGA and SAG-AFTRA. I am taking AMPTP, the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
You're trying to bring them together. I appreciate that. You're like, please, guys, get this sorted by Tuesday. I got 10 bucks on this shit. Man, the AMPTP, huh?
Yep.
It says that they have the, I guess, what is this? The Alliance of Motion Picture is an organization that negotiates with the film unions like the Directors Guild of America, SAG-AFTRA, and Writers Guild on behalf of its more than 350 American film and television production company members. So you're basically just repping the production companies with the third pick.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, very, very interesting. It's confusing.
Yeah,
but I like it.
I'm everywhere.
Well, you know, I'm not even gonna pivot. I'm going to stay with my trend of picking the ones with the cool names.
It's gonna be.
It's not that one.
Okay.
I see that one. I'm saving that one.
Okay.
It's gonna be the Makeup Artists and Hairstylists Guild, aka the MUAHS.
The MUAHS.
MUAHS. MUAHS. I think that's pretty cool. You know, acronym or anachronism or whatever you call them. Initialism.
I'm a big fan.
This is IOTSI Local 706 in LA, and this represents the interests of those working in makeup and hair for film and television, as well as commercials, theater, and live events. So right now I'm going to have some honorary cameramen getting driven around by Teamsters filming someone who's not there but has their hair and makeup done real nice. I guess it's reality TV I'm making.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And then you're out here really making pretty much everything else with WGA, SAG-AFTRA, and AMPTP.
Yeah, and so this is my fourth and final pick, right?
Yes.
This is a difficult one, and I want to tell you the two that I'm deciding between, because I'm trying to get something made, right?
Correct, yeah.
Right now, I don't have a director.
No, you don't.
I just have lots of producers.
I mean, you're going to take the power of four. This is going to be really incredible. You could end up with, like, by far the strongest lineup of four.
I could. But here's the thing. I'm an editor at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have to take the editors. I'm taking the Motion Picture Editors Guild, IOTSI Local 700.
I was kind of hoping that we would go the whole thing without drafting. Just like the two editors on an editing show not drafting the Editors Guild.
Fucking editors. Who needs them?
Yeah, so what made you want to get the Editors Guild?
That's really just... I mean, at this point, I've produced a thing, or I've shot a thing. Actually, I guess I don't have any cameramen.
You don't have any cameramen.
So what am I editing?
You wrote it. Someone acted in it. It got produced, and then that's what's getting out of it. No one knows.
No one knows.
This is a mess.
I should have taken the directors.
Well, I'm happy to work with you. I mean, I've got drivers, makeup, and cameras.
All right, so we might have to combine our efforts.
Well, IATSE Local 700 is the Motion Picture Editors Guild.
Yep.
Over 6,000 members, according to this. It represents the interests of both editors and other post-production professionals who work in film and TV in LA, but they also have national jurisdiction. So that's pretty cool. I'm not part of that guild, and I think my time has passed. I don't think I'll be part of that guild ever.
I think I'd have to move to LA to make that work.
This is where I have the last pick of the entire draft, and I really hate to leave, you know, anyone out of this, because I'm not taking the Directors Guild, the DGA, DGA is not going to be a part of this. I would love to take the American Federation of Musicians, AFM. I'm not taking that one either.
Okay.
It's tough. The stunt men and stunt women are being left off.
Underrepresented.
The talent agents are being left off.
Yeah, fuck them.
The PGA, the Producers Guild, not the golf thing, is being left off. What I am going to pick is, it might surprise you, it is the Production Sound and Video Engineers Guild.
Wow.
Because the name is PS Veg, and I think that's a pretty funny one. PS Veg. What do they do? Great question. They represent the interests of those working as production sound technicians, which encompasses a large cross-section of individuals. So that would be boom operators, data capture operators, playback operators. I actually have a friend in Rhode Island who does playback on... He's part of this union, I bet. Projection engineers, projectionists, recorders, sound mixers, television broadcast engineers, utility sound technicians, and video engineers.
Man, you're out here repping for everyone below the line.
Bro, I'm a below the line kind of guy. I'm repping for PS Veg. You know what I'm saying? So a very interesting combination we have here. To recap.
Yes.
You've got...
I have...
Almost the power of four, I would say.
I have WGA, I have SAG-AFTRA, I have AMPTP, and I have IATSE Local 700, the Motion Picture Editors Guild.
MPEG Stream Clip.
Ooh.
Me, I got SOC, Teamsters, Moise, and PS Veg.
SOC, Teamsters, Moise,
and PS Veg. That's right. I don't remember really what they stand for, but one's camera people, one's Teamsters, one's hair and makeup, and the other one is engineers or some shit.
Yeah, production sound
and video engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, I guess the exercise here was to just recognize how many different guilds there are. And, you know,
it's kind of,
they're kind of the reason that these movies get made.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to think about all these different unions having to like negotiate ways to work together in order to create something together.
Yeah.
It's I don't know.
I never really
think about it that way.
It's a big, beautiful ecosystem. It just keeps evolving.
Yeah.
What's your favorite guild? Call in 332-333-4361
Matt.
Leave a message. Let us know what your favorite guild is and why. Or would you ever be a part of the union that's in your field?
What guild would you pick to be in if you could be in any of them?
I know we have three listeners at least, and I think I know how all of them align. I literally think I know how each one of them feels about guilds. I have a prediction, I should
say.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll tell you after the show.
Sure.
But
we would never shit talk our listeners on the show.
I think it's very clear how they all align.
Yeah, I think we know.
All right. Well, Chris, what'd you think of the last minute game I made up?
No, I loved it. It was great. It was great. Great way to fill time.
That's right.
I learned something.
Okay. Well,
I'm not sure what.
Don't get to it yet because we're about to. It's what we learned last week. What we learned
last week. Okay, I'll start. So I learned that the idea of ghosts being transparent is fairly recent. It didn't start until the 19th century.
Ghost_alpha.png.
Yes. Yes. And the way that happened was basically the invention of... It was a projector, more or less, that you
repping
could,
for PS Veg.
Yeah, PS Veg, baby. they would do like shows, basically slideshows, where they were kind of like horror themed and
horror themed
horror horror thing?
Hardly know her. Sorry.
God. And they would cast these images of ghosts and skeletons and stuff right. like that on the wall. But because it was like a projector type thing, they kind of showed up as transparent. And also because it was on the wall, they like, kind of looked like they were floating.
So the opposite of Michael Jackson. He's off the
wall. He's
off
the wall. That's right. Just like Vans.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're falling apart.
Right.
So
they're looking like you can see through them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how that became how we today, a couple hundred years later, still think of ghosts as being this kind of transparent, like spooky thing.
Unbelievable that it came from like a mistake.
Technology.
Or whatever. Or yeah.
It's not a mistake. It's just, you know, it was a medium of entertainment.
Large, I'd say.
Well, okay. It was pretty big.
Extra large.
Yeah.
It's gone on for years now. Wow. Decades.
Centuries.
Has it? No, it's been 100 years or something. Give it another and it'll be centuries. Mine is way less interesting. I found out that Jell-O is called Jell-O because of gelatin, not because of jelly. I thought in my head, I don't know. I just wasn't thinking. I just was like, Jell-O. It's like jelly because it's jelly. And I was with a friend of mine and she was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, Jell-O, jelly, right? They're both spelled almost the same. And she was like, no, it's because it's gelatin. And I was like, well, now I know what to put on what I learned last week.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's funny. I feel like the trend recently has been yours like are good and intelligent. Mine has just been getting worse and worse and worse. It's like early onset dementia documented on the show.
Oh my God.
Please no. Please no. All right, Chris, where can the people find us? And we'll get the fuck out of here for Fall Friday.
Fall Friday. We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Please.
We are SizzleReelGangthewebsite.com. It's new. It's improved. It's a good-ass website. And most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line.
Oh my God, it's so cold. God.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in, text in, let us know. What day do you think the strike's going to end?
Exactly.
Throw some money on it.
There's $10 on the line.
$10 on the line. We will each Venmo you. Five. Tell us about how you feel about the ChatGPT lawsuits. Are you going to sue ChatGPT? What do you think about Prime Video adding commercials? Paying for commercials. It's a little bit bizarre. Are you going to any film festivals or any screenings? Call in. Let us know. Tell us how you feel about medical technology and Adobe Premiere's enhanced function.
Yep.
And let us know about the unions. Tell us about Jell-O, gelatin. I'm just recapping the whole show. But, all right. See you guys later. Bye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.